this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series, brand new series today, entitled God's Way. Everybody say God's Way. Something you always, always hear me say here without limits is that if you do it God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God's results, right? And that is the key. That is not just a cliche. That is not just a nice phrase. That is the word of God. That if I'll do it God's way, I'll get God's results. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6 and 33, and his righteousness to be in right standing with him, then all these other things will be added unto you. And so we live in this culture that teaches that you can just do whatever you want to do and, you know, just if it makes you happy, do it. But we don't find that in the Word of God. Isn't that right? To the degree that we will commit to follow God, to follow His Word, and to follow His plan for our lives, we will see peace and increase in our lives. And who doesn't want peace and increase in their lives? Isaiah 55 and 8 and verse 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And anytime I break the scripture down, it's so easy to break the scripture down because I tell you, God's just saying I'm smarter than you. I mean, that's, you know, and to the degree that you do it my way, you got it, you'll get my results in your lives. And so God doesn't think the way we think. God doesn't act the way we act. And so his plans are not our plans. And to the degree that we will submit our will to his will and our way to his way, we'll see God do amazing things in our lives. So we're going to really be reading from the book of James today. And we might be reading from the book of James for the next couple lessons in this series. And so I'm going to read James, the first chapter, 16 through 27. And then as I give you my points, we'll break the scripture down as we go through. So we're just going to do a little bit of Bible study. Is that all right? All right. Somebody used to say, "Well, when's your Bible study?" I say every time we come to church because we study the Bible every time. All right. James 1 and 16 says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." I'm so glad about that. "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." He says, "Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, watch this, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, what happens? They deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Now, that's just a good lesson. We're going to break all that down. And I'm telling you, Lady LaConte and I, you know, and Jay and Hannah, we are one blessed family. And the only reason we're blessed is because we do it God's way. So there's nothing that separates our family from any other family. There's a lot of blessed families, you got it. But if there's a family that says, "Well, we're not blessed," well, you need to really look at the inside and say, "Am I doing everything that really pleases God?" Right? Proverbs 16 and 25 says that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Look how it says there is a way, singular. All right? There is one way. I can go down this road and it seems right. It seems like it's okay. It seems like it's not a big deal. Oh, God, won't be too upset if I do that. I'm just testing the waters. There's just one way. It seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, that's the NIV. The KJV says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So one way can equal to one way singular can open up a door to ways plural of things not going right in my life. All right. So here's the big question. Everybody say big question. Big question today is, what is going to be the basis for how you live your life? What is going to be the basis for how you live your life? Is it going to be the world or is it going to be the word? So that's what we're going to talk about today. What is the basis for how I'm going to live my life? Am I going to go by this world's culture, this world's standards? The world says you can do this or this. Or am I going to live by the word, what God says that I should be doing in my life? Amen. Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 24th verse says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Kind of sounds like James, not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Watch this. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, but yet the house did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. And so the key to understand is that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. You got it? And we have to keep Jesus at the center of our lives. And if we do it God's way, we will get God results in our lives. I'm not saying we're perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. We sometimes make mistakes. We sometimes say something that we shouldn't say. Sometimes we fall short. So I'm not saying that God is looking for perfection. You understand what I'm saying? But I do think that God is looking for a heart that is turned towards him that says, God, every day I'm going to give you my best. Every day I'm going to give you my very best. I'm going to try my best to walk out your word. I'm going to try my best to treat people right. I'm going to try my best to always do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Amen. And so I have got three simple points, probably don't even need all the time on the clock today. I say that and then I'm gonna use all my time, right? Three simple points on really how to live God's way. That's what we're going to talk about. Now what we're going to do is kind of break down the book of James and kind of what we've read and just kind of go from there. You know, if I was to if I was King James, you know, King James is the one that translated the Bible from, you know, the Hebrew and the Greek over into the English and those kind of things. If I was if I was King James, like, I would do things like, you know how I give you a series and then I give you like a subtopic, like if I was King James, I'd have had like Galatians, right? And then I would have like underneath live free. And if I was to have written James underneath, I would have taken, you know, this would be before Nike would ever came out, and I'd have been like, just do it. You got it? Because that's really what James is teaching. It's about faith. It's about just doing it. It's about just believing, just making it happen. Get rid of this, and just do it God's way so you can see God's results in your life. All right? And so three simple points on how to live God's way. You guys ready to do it? All right, let's go. Number one, gratefully receive the truth that saves me. I will gratefully receive the truth that saves me. For all of my online family, make sure that you're taking notes. Make sure that you're typing. Make sure that you're putting it in down below. Because even though there's a lot of you online now, somebody's going to come watch this later and the notes will already be there. All right, so number one, gratefully receive the truth that saves me. James, the first chapter, let's read verses 16 and 18. He says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So in other words, God is consistent. He is not inconsistent, all right? God is the most consistent person that you will ever meet or experience in your entire life. And there are a lot of consistent people in life, but God is the most consistent. He does not change. God is not wishy-washy. God is not sometimey. God does not change his mind. Like, if he said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. And watch this. And why not follow the most consistent person in life? Isn't that right? You know, don't listen to what, you know, sometimes your coworker doesn't know what they're talking about. And quit fussing with them over the word. You got it. You know, I've taught you some principles from the word of God, and then they're trying to teach you something different. And then you ask them, well, where do you go to church? Well, I go to revivals every once in a while. Don't listen to them. So you know, you need consistency in your life. God is consistent. The word is consistent. Holy Spirit is consistent. Truth is consistent, right? So we need consistency in our lives. And so the Bible says, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose, I love this, to give us birth. So how did he give us birth? Through the word of truth. And that's what we need. We need the word of truth. We need the word of faith in our lives that we might be a kind of first fruit for all he created. And so the word is what's going to change our lives. And so everything in our life must be guided by the word of God. The word of God must be the final authority in our lives. In other words, any situation that I face in my life, I can find what the word of God says about it. You got it? And so I go to the word of God, and whatever the word says, that's what we do. Y'all didn't say amen. Did y'all notice how I got quiet for a minute? Yeah. You know, maybe you thought I was going to say more, but that's it. Like, we just do what the word says do. You got it. I was talking to Minister Debbie the other night, and we were talking about, you know, how easy the word really is, and we just started having this conversation about how, like, it really is that easy, that's that simple. If you'll just do what the word says do consistently, it will really work in your life. Amen. And so Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by how? The word of God. You know, and how can we hear unless we have a preacher? And how can we preach unless they be sent? Thank God you come to a good church with a good man and woman of God who's going to teach the word and give you the word in a simple way so you can apply it in your life. Isn't that right? All right. Okay. So number one is gratefully receive the truth that saves me, because the word will save you from so much if you just do it. The word will keep you from so much if you just do it. All right, let's go to number two. Number two, everybody say number two. Number two, humbly accept the truth that confronts me. Everybody say, ooh. All right, so because the truth of God's word will confront you. You got it? When you're not doing right. Let me just look at my iPad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, now because and it's supposed to confront us. Holy Spirit is there to lead us. He's there to guide us. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to comfort us, but he's also there to correct us. And we've got to learn how to accept correction. You got it? You know, in the natural, let me just help you. This is why it's important you correct your children so that they can learn how to receive correction as children. So that when they grow up, watch this, they can learn how to receive correction from their Heavenly Father. And that makes sense? Yeah, but if you always let them get away whatever they want to, and, you know, you never correct them, you never discipline them, and those kind of things, you know, they grow up entitled, they grow up selfish, you got it, and that doesn't make for a good Christian. Isn't that right? Yeah, I know, I mean, yes. What's put point number two back on the screen. Humbly accept the truth that confronts me, and what I just gave you was truth. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's keep going in the book of James. We'll pick up at the 19th verse. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Do what? Take note of this, right? He says, everyone should be what? Let's try it again. Everyone should be quick to listen and woo, that's a mouthful right there. You got it. If we could just master that, we'd be heading in the right direction. He says, everyone, not some of you all, but everyone, the pastor included. Everybody, you got it. I don't get a pass because I'm the pastor. If anybody, I should be, watch this, setting the example above everybody. You got it? And so I have to make sure that I'm doing the right things, right? I have to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be in operation in my life. Isn't that right? Yeah, there's things that used to make me mad. I had to get over that. You know, I couldn't let stuff make me mad because it would be a bad witness to you. Isn't that right? Yeah. You know, in my younger days, you know, I ain't like people flirting with Lady LeConte. That's my wife. You want your wife, you go get you one. That's my wife. I mean, my whole thing is, you know, the whole doing to others. I don't flirt with nobody else in this entire world. So all I need you to do is just not flirt with her. Yeah, now, I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all understand what I'm saying. You know, it's just encounters that we've had, you know, traveling or, you know, at Wendy's with Pastor Pat. Oh, y'all remember the Wendy's store? Oh, okay. All right. Who does not know the Wendy's store? Oh, I've got a store for you. Yes, indeed. So myself, Pastor Pat, Lady LaConte, we were working, and so we decided to go to Wendy's real quick just to grab a bite to eat. You got it? And so I don't remember all the details anymore because I washed it all under the blood of Jesus. Amen? Pastor says, I remember everything. All I know is that that lady went in before. She did go in before me. I was behind her. You know, I'm not sure if Pat was behind me or in front of me, but all I know is she was walking in, and a gentleman walked out and basically started checking her up and down and said, had I known you was coming, I'd have bought you lunch or something like that. You got it? Yeah. And so, boy, listen, I went from zero to a million in a million and a half in a half a second, in a millisecond. You got it. My blood was boiling. All I saw was red. I remember my Marine Corps days, born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. You understand? I was ready for battle. You got it? Well, you're saved, but I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. If I die, let me die in the army of, but I ain't dying today. And so I commenced to want to go and go upside that man's head, but that wasn't like God. But I still wanted to do it. Because my whole thing is, and I told God, I said, God, now you know me. I don't mess with nobody. I don't. Nobody. You got it? That's not an issue I have. Not an issue I've ever had. Listen, when God gave me the one that I wanted, I ain't need nobody else. You got it? And that's something that you have to keep in your heart. Whether it's a man, you know, whether I'm talking to a husband or wife, when God gave you your husband or just say your spouse, he gave you everything that you'll ever need for the rest of your life. Got it? All right. And so, you know, I just, lady was getting upset with me because I just wanted to, you know, beat the guy up. Yeah, I actually wanted to do more than beat the guy up. But anyways, you know, and Pastor Pat was just turning red like, what in the world is going on? He's like pulling a bee on us. All right. But watch this. But the Bible says that everyone should be quick to listen. I needed to listen to the lady and Holy Spirit at that moment. Slow to speak because I was about to go off. You got it. And slow to become angry because human anger, this is the reason why, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So that's why, you know, because we sometimes, let's be honest, we'll use the excuse, well, the Bible says be angry, but just don't sin. But a lot of times when you're angry, you end up sinning. Can I get a? Yeah. And so the reason that we don't need to ever get angry, and sometimes we will, and if you find yourself getting angry, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to get you right back to where you are so that way you don't do anything crazy, right? And so he says that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So there's a righteousness in us. It's not our righteousness. It is his righteousness. You got it? And it's only produced, watch this, through the fruits of the Spirit that are in operation in our lives. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth. What is that? Everything that's not like God. I don't care what you label it. Some people label it sin. Some say it's not sin. I don't care what you label it. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Watch this. And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Right? You got it, you know. So that day at Wendy's, it was God's word. You got it. It was Ladies LaConte's word and Pastor Pat's word and the Holy Spirit and Casper the Friendly Ghost, maybe. It was all them words, you got it, that was planted in me that saved me from going to jail that day. Praise the Lord. All right. So no, because look, this, true statement. God gets on me sometimes. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm not perfect. You got it. I try to be my very best. I really do. I think I do a pretty decent job. You got it. But like Paul says, no good thing dwells in the flesh. Right? And there's sometimes that I think a certain way, you got it, or want to do something that God says, no, you shouldn't do that. That's no, you know better than that. You know, am I the only one that God talks to sometimes to, you know better than that? Yeah, you know, I'm going to give you a big-time take-home statement. I got a big-time. This is grammable. This is tweetable. This is bookable. This is all those things, all right? All right? Oh, did I say it right? Instagram. I'm going to gram it, so it's grammable. Facebook, I can book it. Twitter, I can tweet it. Right? Yeah. Snapchat, I can snap it. I don't know nothing about Snapchat. Here we go. Are you ready for it? Are y'all getting anything out of this lesson? Man, the Lord told me, because I was not going to start a series. He said, no, you start this series. And in this series, there's going to be some different lessons. I'm just going to be honest. It's going to come straight at you. But I'm trying to set you up in this lesson so that way when you receive it, it's not from pastors, from the Word. You can take it. Hello, somebody. Allow it to get into your heart and spirit and receive it, and God will do amazing things in your life. Watch this. Here we go. If your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself. That's grammable right there, anybody? Yeah. I'm going to say it again. If you're going to post it, make sure you post what I said. You know, if you forget a word or change something around, it changes the whole context. If your God never disagrees with you, comma, you might, because you need to put the comma in there, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself, all right? Because God's not always going to agree with you, but you have to always agree with God, right? Why? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. His are higher than ours. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, right? Chastens, that's right. Another word for chasten is corrects. So whom the Lord loves, he chastens or he corrects, just like we do with our kids. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, in the 13th verse says, and we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, watch what he said, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. When pastor's teaching to you, I'm not teaching a human word, you got it, but I'm teaching to you the word of God, and you've got to humbly receive the word of God. All right? Can I give you another one that's grammable, tweetable, snappable, and bookable? All right, just get it right, all right? The mark of a God-changed heart is that I like God telling me how to live. Give it to you one more time. The mark of a God change is GOD-CHANGED, all right? The mark of a God-changed heart, I know I got issues, but I got issues, you got issues, all God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue, all right? So the mark of a God-changed heart is that I like God telling me how to live, all right? Anytime we do anything out of the context of what God has instructed us to do, we put ourselves in a place to be harmed. You got it? Did you hear what I said? Anytime we do anything that is outside of the context of what God has instructed us to do in his word, we can put ourselves in harm's way. All right? How many know that sex was designed for marriage? Right? Between a man and a woman. Right? Okay, so I just got 3 amens, but it's okay. I'm going to go with it. You know, so God designed sex to be, watch this, in the context of marriage, right? So to do it outside of the context of marriage can be harmful. All right? Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I just think we need to understand that. You got it? You know, ladies, sex ain't going to make them love you, and a baby ain't going to make them stay. So don't lower your standards. You got it. If he's not willing to pay full price, don't put yourself on discount. You are valuable. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you got to flip that thing. Men the same way. Because ladies running after men nowadays too. Praise the Lord. I told you. This series, we coming at you this series. You got it? You got it? We coming at you this series. I got to go. No wed, no bed. No ring, nothing. No contract, no contact. You can't try it before you buy it. You sure look nice. I'm cold as ice, but please don't touch my merchandise. Like, you got to stick with it, right? You got to stick with it, right? Right? Okay, all right, all right, all right. God's ways are better than ours. His ways are better than ours. This is point 3. Court, I think we should just go home on point 3. I think this is a good place to play some metacritical music. Huh? What happened? They caught up. Well, take your time. Yeah. All right. Number three, everybody say number three. Intently embrace the truth that guides me. What did I say? Watch what James 1:22 says. We're going home after this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He says, but do what the word says do. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives what class? Freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And so it's the whole righteous expectation versus unrighteous expectation. It is an unrighteous expectation to not seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but then to expect all these things to be added unto me. It is an unrighteous expectation, watch this, to live any old kind of way I want to, but then to expect God to bless me. It's an unrighteous expectation not to give the tithe and to give the tenth, but then to expect him to open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. Y'all understand what I'm saying? What am I saying? That if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying all over the building. So I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. I want you to talk to God, talk to Jesus right now and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Because I have no clue. I just know that God told me to teach this lesson and that he would speak to so many of us, because I believe every one of us can get something out of this lesson today. And I want you to say, God, what are you speaking to me about? What are you trying to teach me? How are you trying to help me? What are you telling me to do? And God will answer you, and whatever he tells you to do, that's what you do. Whatever he speaks to your heart, that's what you live by. Make the proper adjustments that you need to make and watch God do amazing things in your life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9 that if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is that you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to just to repent of your sins. That word repent is not a hard word. It's actually an easier word than we understand. Repenting means that I was walking in the wrong direction and I made a U-turn, or repented and started heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, that old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. I just want you to know God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you, but he loves you very much. And he's knocking on the door of your heart today. And so if you need to rededicate your life, let's just do that today. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online and you love God, but you just made some mistakes. You did something that you shouldn't do. My whole thing is just admit it and quit it. That's all you got to do. Just as believers, 1 John 1:9 was written to us. It says that if we'll just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance does not put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line, so to speak. And so maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. And let me just add this. I believe it's time. You know, now we've got partners all across the country. You can't be in the room. But if you're in our area, I believe it's time for you to come back to church. I believe it's time for the people of God to assemble. We thank God for online services. And this is by the Spirit of God. This is not just pastors upset, because I'm not upset at anything. Church is doing absolutely amazing. So it has nothing to do with the church, but it has everything to do with you getting back to if you're able to. If you live in New Bern or Craven County or the surrounding areas, it's time to get back to the house of God, because nothing replaces being in God's house with his people and serving and doing all the things that come along with it. And so I've got this connection card. It's online. It's also in the seat pocket located in front of you if you're in the room. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, if you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus, if you're going to join the church today, I need you to grab this card right now. I'm going to say it again. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, if you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus, if you're going to join the church today, I need you to go ahead right now at this time and grab this card. Go ahead and start looking at it online. There are, as soon as we get off, there are links available, and I want you to get it too. I want you to fill it out and submit it to us in the room. I'm going to have you fill it out. If you need a pen, if you'll raise your hand at this time, ushers will make sure that they come and give you a pen. And I just want you to fill out all the information at the top. At the bottom, it says my decision today, and just check, I'm committing my life to Christ, or I'm renewing my commitment, or I'm joining WLCC. There's a place for a prayer request as well. If you write down a prayer request, we are going to pray for you 100% of the time. And so we're always going to pray with you and stand with you for God's very best. If you are in the room and you have this card, if you're a first-time friend, then you're going to take it to the first-time friend's tent outside so you can get your free gifts. If you're not a first-time friend, then ushers are holding offering buckets. And, of course, that's not for another offering. That's just to drop it in. And so let's do this. I want everyone online and in the room to repeat this simple prayer after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?